Tower Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome back to episode 34 of Mad Tower Radio. I'm your host Dan, joined by my co-host Christian. Ryan is out with a headache today, so it's just going to be duos today. And if this is your first time listening to the show, we usually talk about spooky, scary, horror stuff, usually cryptids and conspiracies, but you know, we tend to go off brand sometimes. We're getting really close to hitting a big subscriber mark, the big 50. So if you watch this on YouTube, go ahead and hit subscribe, join the Gunch Squad. If you're listening on Spotify, go ahead and hit follow. But yeah, without further ado, Christian, how are you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. It was a slow start to the year, you know, getting back into the swing of things, but I'm starting to feel like I'm actually in the new year and my life is, like, going on.
I know what you mean. Like, it doesn't feel like the new year until at least, like, mid-February.
Yeah, Valentine's Day, and you're like, oh, I'm really in this.
Oh, yeah. Then it gets real, you know. Then we're 1 year closer to the destruction of society as we know it.
As we're getting on up in the numbers for episodes of the Mad Tower Radio, I've made a discovery, and that's holding yourself to hard and fast rules, like a cryptid or a conspiracy. That sucks. I'm just going to do shit that I like.
It does suck. We're branching out, keeping it in the realm
exactly
of like horror, in the realm of spooky. You know, we really limited ourselves. We put ourselves in a hallway when we could have put ourselves in a whole fucking baseball diamond, you know.
It's a very imaginative expression, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason we can't fucking, you know, ballpark it, have some fun, you know, because sometimes it's just shitter cryptids.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to force myself to do, like, shitter cryptid anymore, you know? I'd rather do something that I want to talk about, there's a lot of research for, blah, 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 than just be like, well, guess it's time to talk about the Bone Man. What's he do? He takes your bones. Where was he seen one time in Dublin?
When was this?
You know,
1406.
So. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, we're having fun here. You know, our longtime audience, I'm sure you won't care. Our new audience, I'm sure you won't care either. Otherwise, you wouldn't have clicked on the video.
There you have it.
Am I right or am I right, folks? Anyway, Christian, I have been frothing to hear what you fucking brought. Like, you told me you were going to do this, and I was like, yes, yes! So, I'm fucking ecstatic to let you take it away and tell me what you brought.
Fantastic. So, I found it appropriate at this time to pay homage to those giants that walked before us. There's a lot of cryptid horror people on the internet who've done a lot of really sweet stuff to sort of make this culture froth up to what it is today. So for this episode, I wanted to cover a little review and analysis, maybe a little chat on the Marble Hornets series.
Yes, dude. I'm so fucking stoked to hear about this.
You're telling me with the just unimaginable grip that the Slender Man has had on your life that you somehow evaded this series?
Yeah. You told me about it back in high school, like freshman year of high school. You were telling me about this shit. Like back when we were fucking taking those Slender Man pictures at my fucking house, dude. And I just never watched it. So I
figured we could also do our, you know, type 5 on Slender Man before we go into the actual series for anybody who's, you know, never been on the internet before in their lives.
Yeah, tell me about it. I could use a refresher.
So our boy, the Slender Man, is often cited as one of the best examples of internet folklore today. He's kind of evolved a little more than your average meme or even, you know, something that exists solely on the internet for people on the internet. It kind of molded into something of its own with, you know,
yeah,
films, games, popular culture, a couple of crimes, and we'll get into that later probably.
Yeah, dude, I remember when that shit first started getting big when we, like, back in freshman year of high school, man, we were fucking just hanging out, and we would be, like, reading about the Slender Man on, like, your 2007 laptop with the internet buffering. Mm-hmm. Like, that shit was nuts. We were, like, trying to play Slender, watching all sorts of fucking videos. Like, it was, like, the biggest, like, horror influence that, like, kind of got me into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's what brought you into, like, creepypastas and shit like that?
Just this whole, like, culture in general, man. Like, I don't talk about it much. I don't bring it up much. Probably because it's been popularized to all fucking hell. But, like, dude, that was, like, my horror renaissance was back when Slender Man got big.
I'm not embarrassed to say it. I was big. I was big on the guy. And for those who are unaware, it's this really tall, really thin man with a clear blank face, and he's in a suit, and he comes with this wide range of abilities. He can teleport.
Yeah, it depends on who you ask.
He can grab you with his tentacles. He can, you know, affect your mind. He often is a, like, psychic entity who drives you insane or bends you to his will, but he often is depicted as, like, a hunter. Like, he, like, stalks people, or more often than not, children.
Mm-hmm. See, I barely remember the legend, the tale of Slender Man.
Oh, it's such an interesting, like, connection I was able to build going through this week of watching Marble Hornets, because, so the Slender Man first appears in a forum post in 2009, that summer, and it's like a create your own paranormal monster type competition, and this guy posts two photos. I'm gonna show one of them to you right now, and it depicts this
so this is the original.
This is day one, the birth of the Slender Man. Is this,
oh baby,
this image here from the Something Awful forums. And the week after this forum post, the two dudes who made Marvel Hornets are like, we gotta take this. We gotta go. And make our...
It's been going that long.
They were inspired by the original outbreak of the sort of Slender Man phenomenon.
Okay.
So the June 9th or something, this photo shows up on the internet. And then the first episode of Marvel Hornets is like June 15th or something.
Really? I didn't know it was that quick of a turnaround.
The Marvel Hornets series is kind of the glue, maybe, kind of like the infector that really solidified a lot of the abilities and a lot of the tropes associated with the Slender Man story.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. So they may not have, like, made the man, but they, like, made the fucking, the myth.
Exactly. They sort of gave everybody an idea of what this entity was, what this entity could do. And there were a couple more follow-up series, but this one was, you know, the big one, the progenitor, the Slender Man online story. And
so, really quick, I'm Google image searching Marble Hornets, and I'm not seeing a lot of Slender Man.
That's fucking crazy, because this dude is all up in this show.
Is he really? I see some dude with, like, a mannequin looking mask.
Oh, that's Masky.
Wow. That's a good name.
This dude doesn't care if it's daylight. This dude doesn't care if there's other people in the room. This dude doesn't care if you're, like, at band practice. He shows up.
Really?
It's really awesome. Like, considering what I associated with him of being, like, this dude who prowls the woods and he doesn't really make himself known. He's aggressive in this show.
He's just showing up all over the place?
Yeah. let me break it down from the beginning for you. So this is about 9 hours in total from beginning to end, YouTube series.
Oh, 9 hours?
Divided into a...
That's not very long.
Like 130, 140 episodes or entries.
Are these episodes like 3 minutes long?
The series ranges from 42 seconds to like these chunky 15-minute episodes. Just, you know, depending on really? What needs to happen in the series at that moment. Like, some of them are very quick, very snappy, and some of them, you know, have dialogue and they need to go different areas and like they need to change perspectives and characters. It starts, like I said, June 2009, goes all the way to 2014.
What? Over 9 hours of footage?
Oh, yeah. To tell the story that these fellows were trying to make. Now, I believe they had originally intended to go one season, about 30 episodes or so, but then it just grows, and like their creativity and their world spirals out, and they just kept going. And, like,
okay. If it's popular, let's keep going.
Yeah, I mean, if people love it that much, why not, like, continue the story? But if you were to guess, like, when Slender Man really started to pop off, would you say it was, like, the 8 Pages game?
2011, 2012. But I would say that, like, you know, internet nerds probably picked up for them around 2010, 11, and 12. You know, but, like, the 8 Pages game, that definitely, like, made it the household name it is.
So, when the 8 Pages game releases, they are on their 91st video of Marble Hornets.
Jeez.
These dudes had been working and, like, building this world for years by the time 8 Pages comes out.
Yeah.
And the entire thing is framed like a in-reality found footage drama.
Mm-hmm. I've seen glimpses of it, and yeah.
It tells the story of Alex Crayley and Jay, I don't fucking remember his last name, and they're doing a student film, or I guess it's an amateur film, but they were still film students of a movie called Marble Hornets.
Okay.
And
clever. Nah, I mean, like, that's just a clever way to work the, like, to come up with the title, I guess.
Over the course of this production that happens in 2006, canonically, the director, Alex Crayley, is getting more irritable. He's getting more angry and paranoid. Because one entity, only addressed as the operator, is sighted following and interacting with those who are producing this movie.
So there's an entity called the Operator.
That's Slender Man's title in this movie, yes.
Weird name for him. Okay.
They had originally planned to name this the Slender Tapes.
Ah, that's a little too on the nose.
So they obfuscated it with the Marble Hornets, and they kind of just ran a little parallel to the Slender Man myth, right?
Okay. So they weren't like, look at our Marble, or like, look at our Slender Man stuff. This is Slender Man. We're making the Slender Man show. They were kind of just trying to be their own thing, but put like the Slender Man in there.
I mean, it's very clearly the guy. Like, you, if you see anything from the show, there's no doubt that it is the Slender Man in this movie. Like, this is early mythos. They don't say Slender Sickness. He doesn't create proxies. He doesn't even have tentacles until, I think it's the Tribe 12.
Jeff the Killer doesn't show up.
Oh, no. None of that stuff. It's very, like, mysterious in a way. Like, he hasn't been fleshed out yet, so it, in a way, makes it, you know, scarier.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Well, let's get into the story some more. I want to hear more.
So, the way that they frame this story is the... I believe he was the cameraman on the production. His name is Jay. He is uploading this tape, these shots of the, like, behind the scenes of Marble Hornets in 2009, when the videos are being uploaded. And he's like, it starts with a couple of, like, production shots. Here's me and Alex scouting out locations. Here's us running a rehearsal on our movie. Here's us, like, talking to the actors. And he is...
Okay, so they're just, he's, like, filming just B-roll?
He's, like, filming B-roll and production shots of the movie. But he will, like, put in subtitles or like text at the beginning of every video of his thoughts in 2009 on tapes that are in 2006. He's like,
Alex
is acting really strange in this part. Like, watch this. Like, he's talking to the viewer.
Yeah.
Or, hey, we were scoping out locations and this weird thing is like out there in the woods, right?
Huh.
And eventually we come to realize that the movie was scrapped due to the problems being caused by the operator's intrusions.
Really?
The whole story is completely out of chronological order. You're seeing things that happen late at the beginning. You're seeing all scrambled up. The first video, entry number one, is just a video of, I believe, Alex, the director, scoping around his house at night, looking out the window, and you get just a little glimpse of the guy in the first episode. They give you that taste, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
then it's no Slender Man for five episodes or some shit.
I believe you get him in one, and then you get him in five. Yeah. They start off very tasteful with Slender Man, and they're throwing this dude out by the end. He's in every entry by the 60s and 70s.
Uh-huh.
But we find out that Alex, in his paranoia, constantly has a camera going around him. He always wants to be in frame of a camera. So he records himself sleeping. He records himself at home. He records someone recording him directing the movie.
Okay.
Because he believes that's going to somehow protect him, or at least provide evidence of this mysterious haunting that's happening to him.
Hmm.
It introduces a really interesting piece of dramatic irony that I think that they execute pretty well throughout the story. So, how the Slender Man fucks up electronics, right?
Yeah.
So in this show, they start the first time by anytime the Slender Man is on tape, the audio is just out. It's completely silent, but
okay.
they don't carry that thing on through. What usually happens is there's distortion, there's that scratching, that fuzziness, and there's a very clear visual indication to the viewer that the Slender Man is coming, but the people who are recording don't see it until they watch it afterwards.
Okay. So they don't know when he shows up, just in hindsight they're like, oh fuck, the audio cut out. That was probably the Slender Man.
Exactly. In the moment, we are living it and seeing the audio get weird, the video get weird, so we know he's coming. But they don't know. And it's a really interesting sort of game that they play throughout the story. If a person is associated with the Slender Man, it'll also cause the video to fuck up. So someone will come in and talk to Jay, and you'll get just a tiny little audio glitch or a tiny little visual distortion, and you're like, oh shit. Oh man.
What do you mean associated with the Slender Man?
So, over the course of the series, people, influenced by the operator. They're drawn to his presence, and they work in his, in his favor.
Mm.
So when those people
are
on camera, sometimes you'll get a similar, weaker visual distortion.
Oh, okay.
Now, the really, hard-to-express part is, the manner in which the story is being told. So Jay is in 2009 telling us the story of Marble Hornets' production in the first season.
Uh-huh.
And he's examining these tapes and talking to us about what he's seeing in these tapes. And then he says, well, I'm going to go investigate more. I'm going to go to Alex's house and try and find any more information. And he starts, as he investigates more into Alex, who has since disappeared. He's left town, given up the movie, and gone away. He goes to his old house and stuff. And as he digs deeper, he's starting to be attacked by guys like the Masked Man, who people on the internet called Masky. Whatever. It makes me laugh.
Oh, okay. They don't actually call him Masky in the show.
That's his Freddy Fazbear, name. No, he didn't.
Yeah.
And, it'll be this really weird thing where, how the Slender Man can inflict memory loss? Is that something you associate with him?
Nope. Must be one of his new powers.
It's a very heavily leaned on power that the Slender Man has in this one. Part of his slender sickness, being around him or being influenced by him, causes depression, memory loss, psychosis, things like this.
Yeah.
So very frequently, Jay will be recording an event. He'll be going and investigating something, he'll wake up in a completely new place, and when he checks his own camera, he'll be able to see what actually happened because he doesn't remember it.
That's a fucking cool concept.
They use that a ton in this show. Tons of people do things that they don't remember because of Slender sickness, and they use tapes to like go back and re-reveal to themselves what was happening to different people at different times.
And yeah,
another huge portion of this show, like one of the most used plot devices, is finding more tapes. Every time a new hard drive gets stolen or someone breaks into someone's house and gets new tapes, new information comes out. Like at the beginning, he breaks into Alex's house or whatever and gets a new set of VHSs. So the next couple episodes will be him going through all of them and examining them and getting new context on things that happened previously. So it's a really big plot point that like 8 or 9 times when a person gets new tapes. Or, like, takes tapes from Jay so he can't realize things. Or someone, you know, there's always fucking more tapes in this show that other people have or people don't want other people to have. Like, it's, like, the plot device in this show.
Oh, okay.
And
so I didn't think this was going to be, like, a, like, force, like, man against man kind of thing. I thought they were going to be mostly, like, dudes versus the Slender Man. You know?
While the Slender Man is present in the entire show and its will is made known, it is predominantly a story of a group of people, the Marble Hornets cast and crew, kind of fighting the entity and his minions.
Okay, so he has minions.
Yes, and the other interesting part is there are 87 entries into the Marble Hornets' main episode list that go up on his channel.
Uh-huh.
But every so often, there's a reply video by someone named To the Ark.
Okay.
So the first time we see this is in entry number 9, and Jay is like doing some reconnaissance on an area that he's going to investigate later. And then in the comments of episode 9 is a reply video from To the Ark that is filming him like going through the house he was looking at from the bushes. And they're like, we see you, we're watching you.
Oh.
So like,
was this posted on a separate YouTube channel?
It is. It's on a separate channel.
No way. That's so sick.
So
did they say anything about it, announce anything about it, or was it just like, you have to discover this on your own, kind of like an ARG?
They do kind of treat it like an ARG a lot of the times. Where you, like, you're supposed to be living it with them and discovering it with them. But nowadays, you can find playlists that put them all in order. And you can just run right through it. So, like, frequently, the gang will be doing something. And then the To the Ark channel will comment on it. And then the gang will reply to that video. Like, the antagonist and the protagonist are able to, like, have a conversation in this really interesting way throughout the series. Based on these video uploads.
Really? They're just making videos at each other?
Well, yeah. They're just posting videos on each other, and it comes into play at the end of season 1, right? The To the Ark channel is like, we're coming to get you. We're like, you're giving us all this information. Like, you're posting your daily investigation on the internet. Like, you're just telling us where you are at all the times. And he gets attacked, like, very dramatically, Jay does. And between the first season and the second season, which is, I believe, episode, like, 25 to 26, is a
7-month
real break.
I see. Like, real life?
Yeah. There's 7 months between those video uploads because something very dramatic happens in the story. Jay frames it as like, I gotta get away, I'm gonna go somewhere else, I'm not gonna like post where I am anymore because that obviously isn't going well for me. So it's meant to be like this.
This all sounds very complex. Like, I feel like I'm gonna have to watch this for myself to fully understand.
Oh, 100%. I didn't come into this episode thinking I would give you like the play-by-play. That would be a whole show in and of itself. We'd have to do multiple like days.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting. I was expecting the spoiler cast.
No, bro, I couldn't if I tried. This is really something that I think, if I had to guess, was best experience, you know, in 2010. and you're pogging up every other week when a new video uploads.
Okay.
Texting your friends on Yahoo Messenger, and you're like, bro, episode 10 just came up, hit this shit.
Now, did you watch it live when it was coming out?
I watched a couple episodes. Probably like the first 10 or 15.
Yeah.
But the worst way, I think, to watch this is to pull up the big playlist and binge it in a week. It gets a little hard.
Okay.
Like, if you don't like unannounced, very loud noises, you're not going to like this show.
They're
gonna assault your ears with, like, the video distortion and, like, the grrr type shit.
The Slenderman static noise.
Yep, and 9 hours of shaky cam does something to your retinas.
That's lovely.
It's all home footage, like, dudes with cameras and dudes with cameras strapped to their chests. Like, there's not a stabilizer to be seen for 9 hours, and you feel it.
I'll check it out then.
No, I would absolutely recommend someone feel it for themselves. Like, you could see as the show progresses, like, they get more adventurous, they get more creative with it. Like, their storylines bloom and blossom as more characters are introduced who knew each other back in the day, and they have secrets who certain characters know, but others don't. And if you are going to watch the show, I do heartily recommend that you keep up the Slenderman fan wiki, because for every episode, if you stay cool and calm, you don't scroll too fast, it tells you who's in this episode, who's filming, because sometimes you don't know who's behind the fucking camera, and it's very confusing, because sometimes you're watching Alex's tapes from the past, or sometimes you're watching Jay's tapes from the present, or sometimes you're watching fucking Jay's tapes, but Tim's recording. Like, it's sometimes hard.
Does it have an episode? Does it have an episode order somewhere online, or do I have to do they have it compiled on a playlist in one channel now? Do I still have to bounce between Marble Hornets and To the Ark and blah blah blah?
No, they've got playlists that throw them right out in order for you. You can go right on along.
Oh, thank God.
And that's exactly how I did it.
Thank God.
It's an honest-to-God narrative. There's arcs, one of my personal favorites being the Season 2 Jessica arc.
Oh?
There's like, fights, there's murder, there's deception, there's effects. Their effects really start to grow as they, like, grow into themselves into the second and third seasons. Like, it's expansive.
Oh, that's awesome.
You really start to see them, like, get good at their craft over the course of the filming.
Oh, that's pretty exciting. It's not just, like, low-budget dudes with their first camera out in the woods the whole time.
It is at the beginning, but it's really charming, I think.
For sure. It definitely can be.
By the end, bro, they've gone such a long way. They get some of these amazing locations. Like, they're exploring, like, abandoned, burned down hospitals and industrial wastelands, like, underground, and, like, whole ass college campuses that have been condemned. That's the one. Like, some of these locations they hit are really, really cool.
Well, I'm definitely excited to check it out now.
They're also giving you, like, the bare minimum mystery stuff. Like, they'll flash, like, binary you have to translate to text, or they'll throw up, like, a little, like, word scramble for you. They're giving you a little bit of that shit here and there.
Oh, God. But nothing too crazy.
If it was too crazy, I didn't really bite for it. I did the binary. I did the word scrambles.
Are they worth doing?
They're fine. It's whatever. It's a little creepy, like,
okay.
I see you. Like, there was more to him. Or, like, he's a liar. Like, it's fine. It is, though, like, the story of four dudes. It's, like, the same four dudes. And I was really starting to slog through I think it was, like, the 50s and 60s. Because our guy Jay gets attacked by the Slender Man, like 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they do, like, Slender Man's behind you. Fade out. He wakes up in a new place and doesn't remember that attack. Like, maybe 10, 15 times.
That's awesome.
Or
So he's just getting fucked on by the Slender Man, like, 24-7?
He just gets annihilated by the Slender Man, or, like, his minions, or, like, dudes who he knows are friends with his minions, and he still hangs out with these people, and, like, dude, he has no regard for his own life in this story.
And, that's fucking wild.
And they can only do the trick where, like, a dude gets tackled, or a dude trips, or a dude falls. Like, the camera gets dropped in every single episode. Every single one of them.
That's great.
By the time...
It gets dropped perfectly into a shot where you can see everybody?
No, it gets dropped into shit positions where you can't see anything. So that they can do
That's worse.
So they can do the fight, or they can do the transformation, or they can do the teleport away. I mean,
that's fucking wild.
By the mid-30s, they're showing you the Slender Man. He's teleporting. He's taking bodies away. Like, he's doing all his magic.
Oh my god.
Dudes are getting shot. Dudes are getting stabbed. Like, they did a controlled fire in one of their houses, because someone's house gets burned down in this fucking show.
Holy shit.
They go all the way in.
I had no idea.
It is, you know, I want to say it lovingly, but it is student or, like, amateur acting, you know?
Right.
I think Tim in this show is the best actor, by and far. He does an amazing, like, performance. He's, like, the dude who's being affected the most by the Slender sickness. He does a very wonderful, like, I'm getting the shit beat out of me madness type thing.
Yeah.
But, like, Alex, the director, he's just a prick. And he just plays, like, a nerdy prick. Like, sometimes, you know, the performances aren't saving the world, but they don't need to be.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Did any of these guys go on to do anything after Marble Hornets, or was this strictly like an internet phenomenon?
As soon as I finished Marble Hornets, I didn't think I was going to. I finished it today. Like, I was chomping through these episodes, trying to get to the end for today's recording, but, like, I clicked on the next one. They have another series after this. It's called Clear Lake 44 that does a little continuation story.
Oh. Okay. Does it have a clear enough ending, or does it have, like, hey, you have to watch Clear Lakes if you want the ending?
No, this story, I think, tells itself. It ends where it needs to. Like, it can stop. Mm-hmm. Clear Lakes is in the same universe.
Okay.
And it's bad. I watched, like, 5 episodes, and I was like, I'm not doing this. They did invite the two creators of the show, it's Tim and Alex, the director and the cameraman in the show, to, I believe they wrote for Slender the Arrival, the game.
Ah, okay.
They were brought on as,
that's
like,
the one where Jeff the Killer shows up, right?
Yes, they worked on that one, or they were invited as guests to work on that one.
Yeah, that one was a trip.
And I just went on this journey over the past, like, 5 days. I watched, like, 10 hours of Slender Man footage. I feel like my brain is damaged in some way. And
oh, no, that's exciting. I'll do it tomorrow.
I find it completely worth it to watch. I found it very interesting. There's also a Twitter page that you can follow that does, like, in-universe tweets, but I didn't worry with that. There's also there's a, I believe, 3-issue comic that came out that visited some of the characters after the story, and, like, how they're handling, you know, what happens at the end and how they're going on with their lives. Didn't do that either.
Okay.
Because, listen, like, Troy Wagner, Tim Sutton, Joseph DeLange, I love y'all. Couldn't find a rip of it online, and that's why I didn't read the comics. I'm sorry, dudes. Couldn't find a rip.
Okay. Fair enough.
You're gonna dive in tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
That's extremely interesting.
And I'm sure next week we can talk about whether I liked it or hated it or what. We'll see what happens. I'll give you a little review next week.
Fantastic. And then the world's wide open. There's other Slenderman YouTube shows. It's called Everyman Hybrid and Tribe 12 are the other two. So, like, there's a whole unexplored universe of these things if you got the itch after that.
Oh, boy. And we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But that's Marble Hornets. It's been a trip.
That's cool. So, without further ado, you know, whole culmination of things led up to the topic that I have for you today. Like, I was really, really, like, just knee-deep in the swamp looking for something to tell you guys about, you know, something crazy, something wacky, something off the wall. I needed to find something that was going to be, like, breaking new ground, right? Something just fucking nutso. So I went back to the X-boards on 4chan. That's right, folks. We are going back to the archives of the Paranormal 4chan board /X. And I handpicked some great threads for you guys. And it's going to be fucking awesome. You know, we're going to have a good time today. If you came for laughs, you're on the right episode. All right. So, Christian, have you had any reflections on the X boards ever since our first episode?
After you gave me a brief tour of X, I made it very clear to myself that I never wanted to go there.
Oh, you are missing out, my friend.
I thought you would, you know, scrape all of the filth off the walls of that place and bring the best to me, so I wouldn't have to, you know, like, get lost in that place.
Well, you know, like I said, this community is very polarizing. It's like, you have the internet itself, which is very polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this tiny little sub-community of, like, paranormal fans, cryptid fans, people just like me and Christian, who like this stuff. But, like, every singular end of the spectrum and at every point between the ends, they're all here. You know, like, there's dudes just trying to tell a spooky story. There's dudes just trying to, you know, talk about a spooky cryptid they heard about or ask people about a spooky cryptid they heard about. Ghost stories. Like, all sorts of stuff, the kind of stuff you hear on this podcast. But then there's just people, like, arguing and just, like, just being absolute shitheads and just fucking arguing about, like, the most mundane fucking stupid stuff. And then there's people that come on here and they're just like, hey, I'm a wizard, ask me anything. And people are like, what spells can you cast? Yeah. And then they like, and then they're just like, what fucking spells can you cast? Okay, it doesn't work like that. You have to blah 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 blah, like going on a 15 million word rant about how it's not just casting spells, like you're a Dungeons and Dragons wizard.
That's interesting. Okay,
you know, like I'm on the front page of it right now, and, like, there's a thread right here. I love these little two-word threads, you know. And it's, like, someone posts a picture of Saturn from, like, Cassini. And it's, like, how to worship. Is Saturn evil or godly?
That's my shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's...
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
This guy goes, the planet is a giant ball of gas, so think a minute about what you're worshiping. Someone replies to him and goes, literally every religion has something to do with this planet. It's not just a ball of gas. Like, it's just awesome. The kind of shit you find on here, you know? And I handpicked some good forums to go through today. Some that I thought were, like, you know, good and had a good spooky story on that forum. Because some people will be like, hey, you know, I've done XYZ for this amount of years, you know, here are some of the stories that I got. But I'm going to start with some of the cracked out people first. Jeez. Right, so this guy posts a picture of what appears to be Earth's magnetic fields, right?
Okay.
And he goes, hey guys, who is hyped for the pole switch? I made a Discord server and here's the link. If you want to help us focus energy to switch the magnetic poles, go ahead and join. Oh, it's awesome. And he goes, you're a non-believer. Just two more years, we're doing it.
He's gonna swap.
Like, this guy's
the poles?
Trying to switch the magnetic poles. I guess.
How? How's
he gonna? I don't know what benefit he gets from this. Who knows, man? It's wild.
Okay.
You know? just the kind of cracked out shit you hear on 4chan. You know, some dude's like, you know, pole shifting would like kill a lot of people. And then he's like, don't care.
man's on a mission.
Yeah. And this guy goes, you don't really need to focus energy to make it happen. We're already past a crescendo. They won't tell you this, but we've accelerated to past 5% field loss a year. A single low-class X-flare will throw us into overdrive. You've got less than a decade. What does that mean, dude? You know?
There's a certain... When you reach out and try to apply your mind to these people, you've already lost. If I'm trying to crack his code, I'm playing his game, trying to pull switch with him.
I guess.
But like, what do I have to gain by switching the North and South Pole right now? Does the whole planet go upside down, or like...
I don't know. Do I become Australian?
Yeah, does North become South, or...
Who the hell knows? Moving on to the next thread. This guy posts this lovely image of Mr. Mark Zuckerberg. And he says, need to know if reptilian people is real. Thanks.
Of course.
Parentheses, you can trust me. And then it's, you know, it's people posting like TV footage of like reptile people, quote-unquote reptile people, and it's like it goes, yeah, it like posts some random video, it's like there were reptilians at this trial, blah 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 blah, look at this person in the stands. You know the reptile people images are kind of freaky. Here's one I just grabbed from the thread.
The shit with the eyes, it's always the eyes.
Oh yeah, the reptile eyes threads are always fricked, man. Always fricked.
So this is just an environment for these people to air out their cracked ideas.
Just anything, man. Anything at all, right? So a guy replies. He goes, reptiles are real, people are real. Yes, therefore reptile people are real. You have a tailbone from your early ancestor, the reptile. And then another dude replies and goes, evolution is a meme. And then the guy replies back and says, evolution is a meme, so explain the tailbone you're sitting on right now.
That's my favorite part of X, is someone's going to say just the most horrendous or mind-boggling thing, and 50% of them are going to be like, yeah, dude, I remember when my grandma pulled out her lizard tail and was like, son, this will be yours. And the other half are going to be like, shut the fuck up. You're stupid.
I love it, dude. It is awesome.
The marketplace of ideas.
There's another example of it. There's another example of it right here. This guy replies, he goes, there's calcified remains on Mars. Unfortunately, the leaders in charge of our world are a bunch of stupid old boomers who think we can't be trusted with information. But there's websites pointing out the vast amounts of life on Mars visible from rovers, and that's only a small edited part of what the government is allowing us to release. The truth is out there, literally. The next immediate reply, Mars doesn't exist.
You got checkmated by an even cracker dude, by an even crazier man.
I know, it's awesome.
You've been defeated.
It's fucking great.
By an even powerfuler wizard. Fuck.
Right? There's just so many people just cracked out on this place. But, it's just always a fun time. Right? So this next thread is called I Have No Idea What This Is. And it is... This one gets fucking wacky. Okay? Mm-hmm. This guy posts this image. This is supposedly a drawing. This could all be fake because I didn't reverse image search this. I'll do it after the show, but I don't want my hopes and dreams shattered now. I want to believe there's a guy so cracked out right now that he, like, drew this. Right? But are you looking at this image? This egg with, like, this, like, black egg with four eyes? Yeah. So he goes, this is pretty interesting. My girlfriend is a very traditional type woman. Not entirely. But mostly. She wants to be a police officer, and I love her very much. She's very sweet, but one thing interests me. It doesn't bother me, really, but I find it a little fascinating and unsettling. She has what she calls spirit guides. She has two imaginary friend-type figures that she talks to regularly. She makes wishes to them, and they always grant them. When she first met me, she wished for me to become her boyfriend, and surely enough, it was so. When I was in boot camp, I called her on the phone and told her how I needed support and was sad, and she told me that she was sending her friend, whose name is Ren, to help me. This black void with eyes, that's Ren. She describes him as a void of darkness with multiple eyes that is conscious and capable of thought and communication. I thanked her for the support, but of course I didn't really think anything of it until one day, while I was in the mess hall, I was just kind of zoned out of my food. I felt a presence in myself. I heard my own voice calling out to me, but I wasn't in control of it. It was like in those movies where people talk to themselves in the mirror, but there was no mirror. It was just my voice. We basically just talked about what was stressing me out. Before he left, he said, "You're going to be all right. You're a strong dude and she loves you. Everything's going to be fine." And the presence left. I was very fulfilled as I was less stressed, but I was also very dumbfounded by it. The next phone call I had with her, I said, "I think I talked to Ren. He's a very good guy." And she said, "Yeah, he just got back from the plane. He's very proud of you." I haven't talked to him since, but it meant a lot to me. This is the drawing she did of him. I'm glad she's got someone like him watching over her. What do you guys think?
Oh, Lord. My man Ren came over. I'm going to astral project a buddy over to you to give you, like, psychology help.
Yeah. Oh, I don't fucking know, man. So, first reply, she needs to take her meds.
Come on.
Next reply is, spirit guides are a very well-known concept.
That's like, exactly, oh my, what the lord, is. Man.
It's awesome.
He came back. He just got back from the plane. You mean, like, Southwest? Like, he flew over to your mind? Or
like, you? Yeah, like, this, your fucking Ren has to take the plane? He has to wait to board? Or
like the astral plane.
And then he continues on and he goes, the other is a very tall hooded figure named Gio. Imagine a ring wraith, basically. He's a good guy, but he scares her a little bit, as he's 10 feet tall and has very long hands. He doesn't talk very much. He likes me too, though, but I've never talked to him. He only appears when things are really bad, like dangerous situations where she's hurt, or in a dangerous situation like if she's got a broken bone or there are people following her. He guides her to safety, and then once she's safe, he either disappears or goes back to being quiet. Pick is what she drew of him. So it sounds like Gio is, like, basically her stand.
No big deal. The specter of death follows me everywhere I go, and when I'm in a dangerous situation, he just sits over there on the corner. he's just making sure nothing gets out of hand.
It is the wildest shit. It is the wildest shit, dude.
That's called a psychopomp. Do you know what those are?
No.
Those are like demons who follow you and guide you to the underworld, bro. That dude's got first dibs on her soul, and he's just staying around in case the situation arises.
Yeah.
His name's Gio?
So some guy, his name is Gio.
Okay.
Now, he goes on, he's like, I was asking her if how did you get these guides? Would I be able to get these kind of spirit guides that you have? And some dude goes, as long as they're not as fucking lame as hers, make yours do something cool, like, I don't know, help you with financial advice.
Oh, ring rate, who do I invest in today?
Right? Are you standing Ren or Gio? I'm kind of a Ren fan, dude.
Ren seems like a nice guy, but Gio's too cool. Dude just sits there, doesn't say shit.
Dude, Gio is cool. Gio is truly the Sasuke of spirit guides.
This is why I stopped doing Tolpa, bro. I was afraid, like, Gio would show up and call first dibs on my immortal soul.
Yeah. It's fucking awesome.
The best part, the boyfriend's like, yeah, he's cool. He he just kind of scares me a bit. He's kind of just like this spectral demon who hangs out.
Oh my god, man. Could you imagine if your girlfriend started saying this shit to you?
There's a difference between it being told to me and then one talking to me, meeting me at the cafeteria for lunch, and giving me, like, relationship advice.
He's trying to sell it to himself. He's like, yeah, babe, totally. Does Ren want something to drink? I'm going to the kitchen.
Ren's like, cool.
He must be, like, just smitten with her, that he's willing to put up with Ren and Gyo.
Smitten was not the word I was holding back, but I'm glad you broke the bubble first.
Do you think Ren and Gyo, like, are they, like, always watching, or can they, like, go back to the astral plane?
Oh, they can.
Because if I was him, I would be a little freaked out, like, if me and homegirl are, like, just sitting on the couch trying to go on a date and relax, but everywhere we go, fucking Ren and Gyo are there, too.
They can. But they choose not to, is the thing.
They choose not to, especially not Gyo.
Man, he even said it in the story. He can choose when he can be seen and when he can't.
Oh, that's so fucked, man.
Nah.
It's so fucked.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was a good one. I saw that one, I was like, this is making it. That's this is going on the show.
A plus X.
That's why you come here, man.
He's like, you're gonna be okay, dude. She thinks you're a really swell guy. And if you treat her wrong, I'm gonna fucking melt your brain like a microwave laser, bro.
Yep. So, moving on, keeping on this theme of romance and love, this guy posts, he says, hey, /X, how can someone get a paranormal being as a girlfriend? If you can get one, where can you find one? And this guy goes, they're called tulpas, aka succubi. I can't recommend them, as they exist only to harvest your soul.
They're not the same thing?
And,
two different things?
Apparently, according to X, they are. These guys are fucking experts in my book. You know, like, this is where I come for the cutting edge of paranormal knowledge, you know. And he says, I'm asking about something other than just the common tulpa or succubus. I'm asking about more physical ones rather than spiritual. And he goes, so you want to summon a physical being for your pleasure? That sounds vampiric. Check your intentions. They are out there. But I'll say this, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make a drink. Now, what does this guy know about having a physical paranormal girlfriend?
Dude, this dude's,
what does he mean?
He's implying a lot. I don't know what he's letting in on.
This guy's like, look, man, you want an alien girlfriend? Okay. How about you check your intentions?
Are you going to treat...
And this, another guy... Right? Another guy goes, astral project and start singing about your desires.
Oh, that's good.
And he again reiterates, I am trying to look for more physical beings, not anything spiritual. And, you know, it's just awesome. It's just awesome. You know, we love it. It's a great time.
For the fifth and final time, I want a physical being in my home.
He goes, no, I want an alien Wendigo girlfriend, please.
Stop telling me about these, like, mind demons, bro. I want an entity in my home to fuck me.
So here's another one I found, as we were getting ready to record, I found this one last minute. I was like, this is going in the show. Title of the thread, simple as, he goes, how did dinosaurs fuck? And, I'll just post the screenshot for you. And this one, you know, it's kind of a just like that idiot.
Oh.
And then he continues on and he goes, why did they never become intelligent then, considering they were around for so long? Someone else goes, they were intelligent. And then he replies again and goes, how? Where was the infrastructure? The society? Seems to me that they just roared at each other and lived in the wild the same way lions do. And...
Okay.
Yeah. It was... Just evolved into an argument about that. Then someone posts this little beauty, a book that you would find on Kindle called Taken by the T-Rex.
Of course. Sure shit.
And then it turns into people posting excerpts from that book. This one, apparently there's multiple books in the Taken by the T-Rex saga. This one is called Dino Park After Dark, where I can only imagine the content of these books. Well, I don't have to imagine, actually. They posted them, and unfortunately I can't read it. It would be too much editing for Christian to blur all of this stuff. Holy shit, man. That's fucking hilarious.
Just a little bit. Just a taste.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bleep it out. Just give me a taste.
Let me find a good one here real quick. We'll go back up to the original. Dino Park After Dark. Drin watched as the creature studied her. Was that caution in its reptilian eyes, or just her imagination? It made low growling sounds deep in its throat, and its head rocked slowly from side to side, scenting her. Then it lunged. Drin turned her body in an attempt to run, her fight-or-flight reaction being automatic. In a heartbeat, the big lizard was upon her, its grasping, immensely strong forelegs clamping her arms with an unbreakable grip. Two fingers on squeezing hard. She waited for the tear her flesh and muscle from her snapping bones, fountaining before her eyes. As she hung suspended in the air, looking down, Drin could see down her body, past her flat stomach, and down to the loincloth, which hung loosely from her hips. Hot breath caressed the small of her back, extending an exquisite thrill.
Okay, we can stop there. Oh,
why is she in a loincloth?
She's a caveman.
Oh, man.
Are we?
So, yeah, you know, this... I don't know, dude. I don't know. Author Christy Sims, dude. Check her out. She's on the up. I heard she's projected to be the next J.K. Rowling's. Ugh. So, if you want more of Dino Park After Dark, go check it out. Anyways, moving on to the next thread, because I hate myself. I feel gross. Guy says, give me a quick rundown on gnomes. And he posts this picture. And someone immediately replies and goes, that's a goblin, idiot.
You fucking idiot.
Someone else says they're elementals, living on a realm next to ours, but not interfering. This guy goes, Rothschilds bow to the gnomes, in contact with aliens, rumored to possess psychic abilities, control the Black Forest with an iron fist, and own deer stands and garden centers all over the world. The best part about X is I can't tell if anyone's being facetious or not.
Like, you know, go on any X board and just reply the dumbest froth you can get out of your mouth, and somebody will be like, "Okay, yeah, you made a good point there. Maybe the gnomes do own deer stands. Like, whatever."
Yeah, and then this guy goes, "Anyone know how I can lure a couple gnomes out from under my deck?" This guy's got gnomes
under his
deck.
Gnomes underneath.
And another guy goes, there's no such thing as gnomes. You did not see a gnome. We've already contacted the regional manager of your local Costco, who will be sending two stock boys and a greeter to help answer any further questions you may have.
That dude's taking the piss. Okay.
Oh, someone got a reply on how to get them out of there, out from under your porch. He says, they love drum and bass. Blast this tune and watch them come. And he... embedded a YouTube video from Jay Cut and Colt Seward's The Flute Tune, and I'll give that a listen here in a minute. A lot of people are replying going with the I'm gonna take a gnome. They're replying with that. You know, it's great. It's great. So the last one that I wanted to save, this is my last thread I got for you, right? This guy goes, I work at the U.S. Air Force's SEER school. SEER, if you don't know, stands for Survive, Evade, Resist, Escape, which apparently is this hellishly long training school thing where you do all sorts of crazy shit in case you're, like, lost in enemy territory. And he goes, I've spent a lot of time in the woods, and I have some stories to share about it. And let me tell you, you know, you can say whatever the fuck you want about 4chan, but goddamn, green text is a great storytelling method. It just trims the fat, and it gives it to you in a nice little bite-sized
exactly.
thing.
No bullshit. Right to the facts.
So this is in green text. So just imagine it in your head. He goes, in core survival skills training, basically you practice core survival skills like field craft, fire building, shelter building for 9 straight days with little sleep. Day 6, finish tasks at 2 a.m. Have to be up at 6 a.m. Try to get some sleep. 3 a.m. and wake up and I have to shit. Already in running shorts, so I put on my boots, grab towel and headlamp, get out of the shelter, run a few hundred feet deeper into the woods, dig a hole real quick, and do my business. Walk past the same tree 3 times on the way back to my shelter. Suddenly get this really uncomfortable feeling. Look over my shoulder, and there's a light floating about 50 yards behind me and to the left. It's about waist level, flickering, and kind of a yellowish glow. No, it's not a headlamp. Hope it's someone in my class who made a torch or something. Who's there? No one responds, and the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Come on, dude, who are you? Feel this pressure in my ears. The best I can describe it is by comparing hearing someone talk to hearing really low-end bass. But what I was experiencing was like lower than low-end bass. Pressure fluctuates like I'm quote-unquote hearing something from this light. Turn my headlamp up. Everything about 15 feet away from the light lights up, but the area around the light remains dark. Pressure increases, now it hurts, eyes watering and vision blurs and shakes. Turn around and sprint out of there. Take 5 steps, turn, my shelter is right there. Look over my shoulder, nothing. Don't sleep for the rest of the night. In the morning, getting gear inspected, realize I don't have my towel. It's right where I left it last night. During some downtime, I start telling the story. Teammates say I was hallucinating. But one of the instructors comes over and says, oh, so you've met the Lantern Man. Oh. Yeah, pretty fucked, right?
He was so blasé about the orb. Oh, you know him? Yeah.
Right? And so it goes, who? The Lantern Man. He was a homesteader who came out here to help build the railroad, got lost one night, and died. Now he just wanders around with a lantern trying to get home. Don't worry about him. He doesn't hurt anyone. Doesn't make me feel any better. Spend the rest of that training delirious, but so is everyone else. Other people started phasing around the woods too, but that was probably just sleep deprivation. So he has a lot more stories that I'm not going to get into because, you know, we're already hitting the mark, you know, and we had some laughs and I want to save good stories for when it's time to do good stories, you know? So one day I'll do an X where I just sort through and find good stories and tell good stories. Right here, I'm on the front page again. Can you be born as a vampire?
Fishing for them, okay.
Yeah, this place is awesome. I could probably do like a totally off the riff episode where I just fucking log on the front page and just do it off the top of my head.
Yeah. Any day you feel like doing X roulette, just let me know ahead of time.
Oh, we're gonna do more X because it never gets old. It's always fun. It's
that fresh psychosis. I need to slurp it.
Oh yeah. So, without any further ado, let's give this episode the send off. Christian, you got any closing thoughts?
Hey. Have you had a scary experience? Have you seen something out in the woods one day when you were driving home from the gas station? I personally would very much like to hear about that.
Oh, yeah. And if you would like to share your story on this show and give Christian what he wants, a story about you seeing some ghost in the woods on your way home from getting a snack, you can find us at supermadtower@gmail.com. At Mad Tower Radio on Twitter and Instagram. All of our shows are available on YouTube and Spotify as well. Get in contact with us. Leave a comment on the video with creatures you might like to hear about, stories you'd want us to cover. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And and we'll see you next time. This has been Mad Tire Radio, ending transmission.
A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tire Radio.